Well, a very good morning and happy new year to you all.
Good morning.
Now, we're just going to read one verse, and it's a verse from the hymn that we just sung, Psalm 1. I did tell you earlier this year, no, I couldn't have done that. I told you late last year that we were going to start a new study today. And the study, I also told you the title of it, Some of My Favourite Psalms. Now, I emphasised the word some, because all the psalms are my favourites. And if we were going to study all the psalms, you'd all be old by the time we'd finish that study. And I don't know what you would call me. So, I'm only going to look at some of them. Now, you remember me in prayer, because I'm going to have great difficulty picking which ones to study with you. Because as I say, they're all my favourites. Psalms are a wonderful book. Let me read the first verse of the first psalm. We're actually not going to be studying it today. We'll come back to it next week, our next assembly. But let's just read it and get a savour, a taste of the book of the Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, that is, in the advice and the guidance of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We've already sung that this morning in our opening praise, the Psalm 1. It's a lovely psalm, and I look forward to studying it with you. But let me give an introduction to our study of the psalm. I would like to start by giving you some wonderful and simple and basic facts, truths, about the book of Psalms. You know, there is so much about the Bible we don't know. Or, knowing, we forget. You see, you're a bunch of school pupils who are familiar with the Bible. You're nearly all able to turn up any book in it that I require you to do. And if you're not quite able yet to do that, it'll not be long. I'd say before this year ends, you'll be able to find any book in the Bible. You'll be that familiar with them. Now, though we are familiar with the Bible to a degree, yet there's so many things that we have to learn just about the Bible itself. And we're going to do that today, by way of introduction, with the book of Psalms. The word psalm, that simply means melody or praise. So the book of Psalms is a book of melody, a book of praise, a book of singing. God's people have something to sing about. Oftentimes in this world, their voice is not heard singing. Instead, we have the world's songs ringing in our ears. But in truth, there is no one has a greater right to sing than the people of God. At conversion, among the many things that happen to us, is the putting of a new song in our hearts and mouth. God gives us something to sing about. God gives us something to sing about. And it's good to bear that in mind. And in the book of Psalms, you basically have what God's people in the past have sung about. And so good are the songs from long ago, we're still singing them. The songs of the world, you know, they sing them today and maybe tomorrow, but by the end of the week they're forgotten. And they have to find another song, which to my ear sounds very like the last song and the one before it, etc., etc. Because the world doesn't seem to be able to come up with anything new, but the song of the child of God is fresh and new and sweet and precious. And consequently, we're singing still that which has been sung by the people of God for thousands of years. What you sung this morning, for instance, has been sung for thousands of years. I would be inclined to say this. The Lord Jesus would have sung that psalm. sung it as a boy in the synagogues where he would have gone to worship. He may well have sung it in worship with the disciples. You can't, as it were, turn to the book of Psalms without turning to Psalm 1. It's such a lovely psalm. So just think about it. What you sung this morning, the Lord Jesus sung, and many, 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 many others, some of the greatest human beings that ever walked, sung what you sung this morning, and loved the words that you sung, and the truths that are set forth in that psalm. So, the word psalm simply means praise, melody, song. Now, frequently, we call the book of Psalms the Psalms of David, and that's not altogether accurate. Not altogether accurate. Now, it's very true that David was given the title by the Holy Spirit of the sweet psalmist of Israel. The sweet writer of psalms for the people of Israel. We read that in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and the verse 1. Among the many things that David did, and David was an accomplished person, wasn't he? He was king. He was a good king, a wise king. He was a great soldier. You only would have to ask old Goliath, could David fight? And if he were able to answer you, he'd have to say, yes, he can indeed fight. He was a great soldier, but he was also a great singer and song writer, the writer of praises unto God. Isn't it wonderful that he's remembered for that? Oh, boys and girls, let us live so as to be remembered for something we did for the Lord. So, yes, David is called the sweet psalmist of Israel because he wrote psalms, but he didn't write all of the psalms that we have here in our Bible, or which we have in our Psalter section of our hymn book. Let me give you a breakdown of some of the writers of the Psalms. See if you recognize any names. Now, they're there in the Psalms, but we sometimes don't notice the little bit of information that perhaps is found at the beginning of the Psalm. Let me give you a breakdown. David wrote 73 of the 150 Psalms. Not quite half, but nearly half. Asaph, he wrote 12. The sons of Korah, priests, they're credited with writing 9 of the Psalms. Solomon, it says he wrote 2. You can find that in the Psalms as you read through them. Then there was a man called Hermon, he wrote 1. Ethan, he wrote 1. Moses, and that has to be the oldest psalm, he wrote 1. And then there are a lot of psalms that we don't know who wrote. No name given. 51 that are anonymous. And that big word means we don't know who it was who wrote that particular psalm of those 51 psalms. Now, they weren't all written at the one time. In fact, from the first psalm that is written to the last psalm that was written, there was a period of 900 years. 900 years. Now that tells us something. Because the oldest psalm and the more recent psalm, they agree. They're in perfect harmony. You don't find in the oldest psalm something that contradicts the freshest or newest psalm or vice versa. There's perfect harmony between all of the psalms, even though they're written by so many different authors over a period of 900 years. That's something we ought to bear in mind, isn't it? When it comes to the truth of God, the religion of Jesus Christ, there ought to be no change. Now, of course, that sadly is not what happens. Out there in the world, there are so-called Christians. And they don't believe what Christians in the days of the apostles believed. No, 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 no. They have changed things since that. And that ought not to be. We ought to be as the Christians in the days of the apostles, the followers of the Lord Jesus. And going further back, we ought to be in doctrine and practice the same as David, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of the saints of God in ancient times, we ought to be the same. I remember when I got saved, there I was picking up all the things that Christians said and did and sung. There was a wee chorus about the old time religion. And you and I believe the old time religion. We don't want anything new. We don't want anything that has been altered and changed and invented by man and is in step with the thinking of today. No, we want the old time religion. The religion of the psalmist. The religion of the Lord Jesus. Just before he was taken away and crucified, we read the Lord Jesus and the disciples sang a psalm. Sang a psalm. And when we sing a psalm, we are identifying ourselves with the religion of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that good? We ought to bear that in mind. There is nothing new. 900 years from the first psalm to the last psalm was written. And they're all in perfect harmony and agreement. Now, God's people have always loved the Psalms. Whenever I went to visit folk in hospital or in their home, very often I would have come with a passage of Scripture in mind that I wanted to read. Or I may have said to them, is there any part of the Bible you'd like me to read? And if I did ask that, invariably the person would say, would you read the Psalm? Would you read a psalm? God's people have always loved the psalms. And I think that the reason for that is reasonably simple. Now, as I say, there's nothing in the psalms that you won't find everywhere else in the scripture, though scattered about, as it were. But in the psalms, you have collected together a lot of important truths that God's people particularly love. And they can easily find these truths in a psalm. Every psalm, just verse after verse after verse, deals with things that we need to hear and comfort us. I feel that I can say this. In the psalms, you will find the singing of God's people. That's what they sung. But you'll also find in the psalms the sighs of God's people. S-I-G-H-S. The expressions of sadness and sorrow and grief and burden and distress. You'll find that in the Psalms. You'll find there people telling the Lord of the burden of their heart. But also, as you read the Psalms, you'll see their prayers. You'll hear their petitions. You're allowed, as it were, when you read the Psalms, to listen in to what people prayed over the centuries. I mentioned Moses writing one of the Psalms. You're listening to what Moses prayed. Think of that. As many as a person has said, oh, I'd love to have met someone like Moses or David or Abraham or the Lord Jesus. I'd love to have met them in person. Well, when you go to the Psalms, you can hear those wonderful people pray. And I think that's one of the reasons why people like the Psalms, love the Psalms. Their prayers, their petitions, and their praise. Oftentimes when we come to the Psalms and we find people praising the Lord, we discover why they're praising the Lord for something that has happened to them, that has happened to me, but I haven't praised the Lord for it. And I should, so that you read the praises that others have engaged in, it causes you to praise the Lord too. That's why people love the Psalms. Because they remind them of things over which they can rejoice and be happy, which perhaps they hadn't thought about until they read the psalm. Also, in the psalms you read about the trials and the tribulations that God's people go through. And that's a comfort to those who feel themselves in the midst of a trial, in the midst of trouble. And maybe they think to themselves, no one has ever been as miserable as I am. Until they read the Psalms, then they discover that In the past, there have been plenty of people who have had the same sad experiences as they have. And mind you, that's a great help. There is nothing like the words of someone who has passed through trouble, heard by someone who is in that trouble. Oftentimes, at funerals, when people are sad at the loss of a loved one, someone will take their hand and say, "I know how you feel. It has happened to me." And they'll tell the story of some member of their family who has passed away. And the person who is at that time grieving and mournful, they'll be helped by the words of that person who has passed through that experience in the past. That's why we love the Psalms. We find people there who have gone through the same experiences, the same trials, the same tribulations as we may be going through. But also, we read about their triumphs. Oftentimes, a psalm will start off with the psalmist crying unto God in grief and sorrow and a sense of fear. But you only have to read down a few lines and you find them rejoicing and happy, because in crying unto God, God has come to them, comforted them, strengthened them, shown to them that all is well, and they end up singing. That's what you read in the Psalms, and that's why we love them. We see the change that God can bring into the heart and the life and the mind of one who is distressed. We love to read, therefore, the Psalms, because there, not only do we see the trials and the tribulations, but we see the triumphs and the victories of God's people. But there's something else you find in the Psalms, and this is very important, and I think that to a very large degree, it's overlooked today. Maybe I should add that. It wasn't always overlooked. But today, I think that, sadly, here's an aspect of the Psalms that is overlooked. Because as we read the Psalms, we see the hopes and the expectations of the saints of God in the past with regards the coming again of the Lord Jesus. You find that very, very often in the Psalms. Oftentimes it is spoken of in such a simple way that we don't notice it. It's just part of the conversation of the psalmist, woven into all the things that they are saying, and we hardly notice the fact that they are speaking of the return of Christ and the victory that will be then enjoyed by the people of God and the wonderful future events that will take place after his return. That's in the Psalms. But oftentimes it's not really noticed by the readers of today. But that's a precious truth, that if we don't notice it, we are depriving ourselves of much sweetness and much good. Much good. We'll be having a wee look at that particular subject, I'm sure, as we study our Psalms. Through the reading of the Psalms, we're made to realize that whatever difficulties may come to us in 2022 have already been experienced by tens of thousands of God's people in the past. There's a wee verse in the book of Ecclesiastes that says, there's nothing new under the sun. The world likes to think that what they see, what they are experiencing today, that's all new. Nobody ever saw this before. But that's not true. It's not true. There's nothing new under the sun. And as you read the Psalms, you discover that. Why? The trouble I'm in. There have been many passed through the same trouble and come out of it well. Therefore, I'm going to come out of this well if I look to the Lord and follow in the footsteps of the psalmist. That's what the Psalms teach us. The difficulties that we encounter have been encountered in the lives of those who have gone before. You see, boys and girls, it boils down to this. As God gave victory to David and to the saints of God in the past, he can give you the victory. As he took care of them, so he will take care of you. As he lifted them out of trouble, so he'll lift you out of trouble. As they found comfort, so you can find comfort. That's why people love the Psalms. It opens up the truth. God's still on the throne. And as he helped in the past, he'll help today. I needn't worry. I needn't fret. That's what draws people to the Psalms. To read them and study them and join in the singing of the saints of God in the past. We may taste and see that the Lord is good, just the way the saints of God through all the generations have done so. Our Presbyterian fathers loved the Psalms. Many of us can trace, if we were to take the time, can trace our families back to Scots families, families in Scotland, who hundreds of years ago moved over here to Ulster. And in the history of our Scottish forefathers, you'll find a great love for the Psalms. And in days when they were hunted like animals on the hills of Scotland and persecuted because of their love for Christ, whenever they got together, they sang the Psalms. They sang the Psalms because they saw that the troubles they were in were the very same troubles that God's people had been in on many, 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 many occasions in the past. And out of the troubles in the past, God delivered his people, and he would deliver them in the same fashion. And deliver them he did. And here we are today, the descendants of those in the past who were persecuted and who loved the Psalms. So that we have reason, therefore, to love the Psalms today. They proved a benefit to our forefathers, and they'll prove to be a benefit to us. They will indeed. Well, I look forward to looking at the Psalms with you, because I have never looked at the Psalms without seeing something fresh and wonderful. To me, anyway. It mightn't be fresh to others. They've already seen it 100 times, but, well, it's fresh to me. And I hope that we all find some fresh things in the Psalms. That's what God promises us. We'll see truths old, and we'll see truths that are new. We haven't noticed them before. May the Lord help us and bless us then as we come to the Psalms in his will, and we'll start that study particularly in the Psalm 1 next Tuesday in the will of the Lord. The Lord bless you. Let's bow in prayer. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast given us cause to sing, and there is a cure for every ill and trouble and distress and sorrow, and we can find it, Lord, in thy word, and perhaps we can say particularly in the book of Psalms. Bless the boys and girls. I trust that they will love thy word from cover to cover, but find a special love for this wonderful book of Psalms. Bless the school today and undertake for it. In all its needs, Lord, remember those who are not with us, but be still laid aside. Have mercy on them. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.